Last Sunday, Tim did just a stellar job at beginning this series on people of the margins. And stellar in the sense, because in our discussion, our team, when we talked about this whole series, what was interesting was how it branched off, like almost like you go down a river in different tributaries that you've never explored before. And when you looked at the possibilities, and was, wow, this is amazing. But, you know, Tim there last week, it was like almost like a two-prong approach that he gave, that we need to, and he used that thing from Deuteronomy, that when you harvest your fields, you don't harvest all the way to the edges, that you leave the margins, you leave the boundary around there for the foreigner and for the poor person to come and to glean from that and to be able to work those edges of your field. And so it was there's this dual purpose that as I practice margins, it leaves room for other people to be able to, you know, care for themselves. It gives honor and it gives dignity to other people as I do that. And it's an interesting approach. And this Sunday, what I want to do is I'm going to go down a tributary that's really tied to margins. And it's this whole aspect of... Here's the deal. As you live in this place of margins, you honor God, you honor others, and you honor yourself. Honor yourself? How can you honor yourself? There's actually a command about honoring yourself. There's actually a command. Not so much about that, but about what that's all tied to. I want to tell you a story real quick. And some of you, so I've shared this with you before, but I want to share it again. Almost 2 years ago, now as you know, for anyone who's you know the stats with pastors as far as burnout and that goes. There's this unique thing about being a pastor that you have the freedom to carve out basically what your job can look like. And on the one hand, that looks great because that'd be awesome. I wish I could do that, right? On the other hand, it's not good at all because it's great if you're a nice, mature, secure person, stable, and all that stuff. Great, go for it. You know, carve out what's, you know how to live a balanced life in that. But you throw in a bit of ego, throw in a bit of insecurities, and you got yourself quite the mess on your hands because what ends up happening is you've created this job that's a 24/7 job. And pastors get sucked into that many, many, so easily for a number of those factors, a number of those factors that are at play. And they hit the wall. And a couple of years ago, not that I was hitting the wall, but that was me as far as 24/7. And not that I was working full day, 7 days a week. I was, but every day I was engaged in some form of work. Number of days, yes, full days, but on my day off, still engaging in work. And I remember distinctly this one day I was in my living room, I was checking, on my day off, checking emails, and there's other work I was doing too, I just can't remember exactly what it was. And whether it was my own voice or whether it was God, today I would say it was God. Then I didn't know what it was. No sense. I didn't know what it was, and I heard this question. Don't you ever take a full day off? That haunted me. That actually haunted me, that question. As I went about my day, I heard that question. Don't you ever take a full day off? My spiritual director tells me whenever I hear something like that to, over the next few days, to talk with, converse with God about that. What is he saying about that? And I had to come down to a place where my answer was, no, I guess I don't take a full day off. I guess I don't. And I had nothing else to say. And in one of the days when I was talking with the Lord, I heard this. So who told you? And it was in a nice way he was saying this. Not who told you. It was a So tell me something. It was one of those. So tell me something. Who told you you could prioritize my commandments? What do you mean? Well, it was a conversation, right? So I'm letting you in on a little bit of my, well, you have some that are no-fly zones for you. You wouldn't think of doing it, right? But there's others. You don't even give it a second thought. In fact, you don't even feel guilty. You don't even feel guilty. You blow it off. You don't even... I knew what he was talking about, right? I knew what he was talking about. And it's this one right here. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. And this includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. And I said, I have an answer for that. I am no longer under the law. I'm under grace. And it was like, it was my inner self saying, you need to duck right about now. Right? You need to duck and duck quick. Because that doesn't make any sense. Right? You can go commit a murder. I'm no longer under the law. I'm under grace. Doesn't fly with him, right? And his thing was, is that he loves me, and I know he does. And he was concerned for me, and he wanted to know why. Why, when I looked at that commandment, did I go, don't need it. It's not relevant. It's not 21st century, right? Anyway, I knew I had to do something because I couldn't go 7 days a week because I was cranky on my day off. I was a cranky guy to be around. And I asked God what to do. Answer was simple. I want you to have a Sabbath. It's like, okay. Every week I want you to take a Sabbath. Every week. And I was like, every week? You kidding me? I don't have time for that. That was my thought. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for a Sabbath. You know the work I got to do? Can I show you my BlackBerry? Can I show you my calendar? Here. Look at my calendar. You tell me how I'm going to take a full day off. And it wasn't like he's going to negotiate. It was like, I'm going to take a full day off. I want you to take a full day off every week. And as I thought about that, I didn't know how I'm going to do it. But the other thing was, I didn't have a clue what that even meant. What do you mean? Like, in the sense of, what does that look like? And I heard him say, well, you need to go figure it out. Go find out. Go find out. Go learn. Go learn what it means to observe and keep my Sabbath. And it was like, okay. And so began my journey of discovering what the Sabbath was about. And it was eye-opening. Eye-opening. I'm going to tell you a joke. And I hope I don't offend anybody here. Probably that means I'm probably going to. No, I shouldn't. It's a Newfie joke. And I know if Ron and Daisy were here, they would be the first ones to laugh. Newfoundlanders are great laughing at jokes about themselves. But I bought this Newfie joke book when I was like 17, 18. You remember that? Yeah, right. I bought two of them actually at Kohl's bookstore. And there was this one. You probably heard it, right? So it was this Newfie. He had to go cut some trees down. So he went to his local hardware store and said, I want to buy the best chainsaw you got there. And the guy said, well, here, I'll show you the best one we got. It's powerful, everything. It'll do everything you want. Chop it, everything down. That's great. And took it home. And 2 weeks, work. And he's hardly getting any trees chopped down. Took it back to the hardware store and said, this is garbage. I don't like it. This junk. It doesn't even work. Guy said, I don't understand. It's the best one. It's the best one. You can't buy a better one than this. This is a pro. This is commercial. This is best. And it doesn't work at all. It's no good. So the sales clerk took it and said, well, let me see. And he pushed a little prime button, and then he pulled. Vroom! And the newbie said, "What's that?" He didn't know there was a motor, right? That's how it felt for me when I started to discover the beauty of the Sabbath. It was like, no one ever told me this stuff. I never knew about this. I never knew. The only thing I knew about the Sabbath, the only thing I knew, because I was raised in a church home, the only thing I knew was Saturday night, get your shoes polished, have your weekly bath, and then it was a weekly bath as a kid. Have your weekly bath, get ready for church, wear, dress up nice, and you're not watching TV on Sunday. And that was basically what I knew about it. But here's the thing. I've been attending church for about 95% of my life, and I didn't know. I didn't know some of the stuff I was learning. I didn't know, and I felt ripped off. I felt, where have I been? Like, what is up with this? I didn't know, had no idea. And it's that, what one of the things I did learn was about what it says there in Deuteronomy, or not Deuteronomy, but Exodus, where it says to remember to observe and to keep. And to observe and to keep, you have to know the whys, the rationale behind the Sabbath. You have to understand. You have to understand that. So today I just want to give you a taste of the whys, a taste of the whys. Because there's so much. That was one of the things I was wrestling with yesterday. It was like, gosh, I want to teach them everything. Like, we don't have time for everything. So I'm just going to pick just a few things, and I want to just land on one thing particularly here. The Sabbath is tied to creation, okay? It's tied to creation. Now, if you want to know where you'll learn a lot about the Sabbath, go to some rabbis. They'll tell you. Our heritage from the Hebrew people, they understood what the Sabbath was all about. They understand that for the Sabbath, that resting, when God rested on the seventh day, He held in high esteem the other 6 days of the week. When he separated one day apart, he honored the other 6 days. There was that honoring that was going on. For the Jewish people, the Sabbath, you know how what Christmas is like for our culture? We prepare for it. It's central, sort of, that and Easter, especially in the church, are central, right? And you sort of almost, it's almost like you journey towards it, right? Every week, now this is for the conservative Orthodox Jewish people, it's the Sabbath is central, and it's like as they go through the week, they are intentionally walking towards the Sabbath, or the Shabbat, what they call it. And it's important to them, very, very important. And every week they prepare for it. They love it. And you got to go, what do they love about it? Is it because it's like, what is it, right? But it's like, the Sabbath sits at the center, and all of the other 6 days revolve around the Sabbath for them. Here's an interesting little tidbit for you. They see, within that fourth commandment, to observe the Sabbath, they see another command. You know what that is? To work for 6 days. That you're commanded to work for 6 days. You're told to work. You work. That's part of living your life for God, that you work. And then you take a rest day. I never saw that one. But in a way, it's sort of there. There's a well-known 20th century rabbi. His name is Abraham Joshua Heschel. He wrote a book called Sabbath. And he says this in his book. on Exodus 20. He says, does not our work always remain incomplete?
Yes.
What Exodus 20 verse 8 means to convey is, rest on the Sabbath as if all your work were done. That's the posture you take. Try to think for a second if all your work was done. Try to think that one through. You know how your honey to-do list, or whatever they call it, honey to-do list that you have of jobs you got to do around the house? You know how it never ends? Do you know that? Did you finish your work on around your house? My list just keeps, it's just there. There's always a list, always. I can chip away doing some, the list is always there. But to imagine for a day, to have the thought, I don't have any work to do, none. To live there, I don't have to do anything. Imagine that. But that's what he says we are to do, we are to approach. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Sabbath is about breaking away from my day-to-day life here on earth and allowing myself to be embraced by God. That's what it is. It's breaking away. It's stopping. It's stopping. It's resting. It's resting. It's co-creating with God. There's a quote here I want to read to you. Isn't this true? Without intentionality, you walk through life and perform rituals without awareness, meaning, or passion. You exist on automatic pilot. You react to events and people and mindlessly go through the motions, even when you believe you are totally in control. Without awareness, you forfeit your own freedom, your authenticity, and power. You ever feel like you're on automatic pilot? Do you? Do you ever feel that? I feel that a lot. I feel that's why there are times I feel like I'm living 3 hours ahead. I'm 3 hours ahead. I'm not thinking about right now, this present moment. I'm thinking about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What am I doing then? What do I got to do? What am I got to do tonight? What do I got to do this week? What do I got to do tomorrow? What do I got to do? You know, and I'm thinking, what should I? I never take. Do you ever like? That's what the Sabbath teaches you to do. Take a day where you don't think about what you have to do. Why? Because the Sabbath is joining with eternity. Okay, it's joining with eternity. There's no past, there's no future. There's just the present in eternity. It's just now. That's what the Sabbath is. Sabbath is a time to step out of your doing, step into being. Do you know who you are? Do you ever take time to know who you are? Who God created you to be, your passions, your desires. Because when you check in with who you are, when you allow the Lord to speak into that, you start to bless. You start, that joy comes out of you in different ways. When you discover who you are. So does my day off have a ritual to it? No. No. You do want to be careful. You don't want to swing the pendulum too far, right? Because there's ultra-Orthodox Jews. And it's just some of the, and they take it too far. About being very, whenever you become legalistic, you kill life, right? You kill life. But there's this thing about what I do on that day is I don't do any work in the sense of stuff that has to get done. What I do, though, is I do work that will give me life, that gives me energy. I do that. I do enjoy the day because they encourage you that you should approach the day and see things as if for the first time. Do you ever do that? And the reason they do that is because they believe creation is happening all the time. Creation is always going on. And what a joy, they say, to be able to look at stuff and look at life as if you're seeing that for the very first time. And be able to go, wow, that's amazing. Wow, to see people, to see your spouses, to see your kids, to see your friends, to see the snow falling as if for the first time. When have you done that last? Because you see, you know what kids are like, don't you? Have you ever seen a kid when the snow is falling? When was the last time you saw the snow fall and you went, oh, yeah? Usually as adults, we don't. We go, oh. Because we're thinking, yeah, I saw the snow, or I got to drive, or got, you know, it's like, oh, does this ever stop? And the kid's going, yeah. or they're out there, you know, they're the ones making snow angels in the snow, right? Or they got their tongue out, you know, catch a snowflake. There's something beautiful about taking a day every week and going, beautiful. You know what? The other thing, they say that on the Sabbath, enjoy good foods. Isn't that awesome? One day a week, get to enjoy cinnamon buns or something, right? That's great. That's great. Here's the bigger thing. When you take a day, now I don't know if you guys do take a day. I don't know if you do. I don't know if you actually take a Sabbath day. Not just a day off. Day off is one thing. But if you ever take a day where you go, nope. And if you can't take a day, I would suggest you take part of a day. And if you can't take part of a day, you need to go see a doctor because you got a problem. Surely you got to have some room in one day of the week. But you take a day, even if it's a moment of the, even if it's a part of a day, and begin to live out the way some Jewish people do. In the sense, they actually welcome it. Friday night, because Saturday is their Sabbath, but Friday night, they welcome. They have prayers they do, they pray, welcoming the Sabbath in, welcoming themselves, letting go of what gone on this past week, not even thinking about, and they prepare, and they make themselves, they get ready for it. They love it. You read some of their literature, and they love the Sabbath. And you know, as you read it, it's a beautiful gift from God. My prayer would be that the church could redeem that. It would be, we live in such a hectic world. Just read an article in the Globe Mail a week ago about on a book review on a woman who wrote a book on this crazy life we live in the world. And 5 years ago, she began the process of, I'm not going to join in this insane rat race that we live in. And she's pared back. And one of the things she's found is that she's more productive than when she was going all the time. And I believe what God instituted right from the beginning is because he loves us. And he wants us to create that margin in our life every week to make space for him, to create a margin. And here's why. The other thing I'm hoping I am teaching you as well is that we can learn from others. The Jewish people are part of, that's where, you know, part of our Judeo-Christian heritage comes from them. Sometimes we do throw the baby out with the bathwater, and there's some aspects that we do need to bring back in so that we are a people whose hearts are after God. But by consciously taking a Sabbath, we create a margin. And as one of the writers that I read said, we co-create that oasis of peace from which you are refreshed and nourished. As a result, I can greet each new day with a whole new perspective in that week. But here's the interesting thing. As I create a margin of Sabbath to allow myself to be embraced by God, it also reminds me and gives me practice in the process of what they call differentiation and the other one is containment. Let me talk about differentiation, what this does. When I spend time with God, when I take that day, that Sabbath day, and be in His, just be with Him, enjoy my day, enjoy my food, enjoy my family, have fun, play, as I let go of my work. There's a process that I enter into where I start to become aware of my family and my friends and my spouse and others. And they are no longer people that are to be used in my life. That's how I begin to start, that, because that's what can happen, right? You see people, those who are your closest to you, as something that you can be, that can be used in your life, right? And what you start to allow to do, because you get to see yourself for who you are as a person, you see, you let others be a person. You let them be who they are. That's important. That's important. You begin to understand that their emotions and their feelings are distinct from yours. They're different from yours, and that's okay. You allow people to be. That's okay. That's good. And just as on the Sabbath, that day is distinct from the others, so too then I can allow other people to be distinct from me, to let them be. That's very important for me. Basically, what it is I do is I consciously allow what is to come into being, right? It's that again, co-creating with the Creator. I allow other people to be who they are. I allow my spouse to be who she is. I allow my children to be who they are. I allow my friends to be who they are. There's that allowance to be a human being, to be for dignity to move in. They say that without that emotional intimacy, two things will happen. One, I will go about life assuming others should think, feel, and experience the way I do, or that other people are simply there to fulfill some purpose for me. And both are wrong. And they said, either way, I do not allow the other to exist as another, and I thereby invalidate and diminish their being. As I create margin for myself, I extend dignity to you. That's what happens. Because when you start to blend in, when all the days mix into each other, when you don't take time apart from God to be with Him, you have a hard time differentiating between others. It just happens. Now, as far as containment goes, here's the thing of containment, and I'll just quickly give a little blurb. Containment is creating a Sabbath margin in my life that makes me focus my attention on what is contained within the boundaries. What does that mean? It's a place where I learn to hold myself and others in a deeper way. It's a time when I let myself sink into God. And in doing so, I make myself a welcoming and safe place for others. Are you a welcoming and safe place for others? Am I? And as I am refreshed by God, as I spend time with Him, that changes who I become as a person. He changes me. He transforms me. Beauty of Sabbath, beauty of it. Did you prepare for today? If today's your day off, your Sabbath, did you prepare for it? Probably not, eh? Probably not. Do you have plans for today, what you're going to be doing? Is there different stuff you're going to, you got things lined up? God's wondering. He does. He invites us to join him into this time. Whether it be today or you pick one day. Pick a day. This day I'll set apart. I'll set it apart. That's what holy means. I'll set it apart as holy and give it to you, Father. Jesus practiced the Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. You know that, eh? That's one of the beauties. But one of the beauties about practicing the Sabbath is we practice that place of margins. And I do that now. I do that now. Some Mondays don't look so great. It's okay. Other Mondays look pretty good. And I'm learning. I'm learning to rest in it, to enjoy it. What I want to do right now is... I want us to welcome the Sabbath. And I want you to, I'm going to do a couple readings. And I want you just to hear and to listen. And then that'll close our service. And then I want you to go about the day with that in mind. Okay? I want you to go about the day with that in mind. And then I have just a little handout for you to take with you. Next Saturday night, Sunday's your Sabbath, prepare. Take time to prepare. And it's foreign, it's odd. It's like, really? But it's a beautiful thing when we begin to focus and to look forward to this time together. So just make yourself receptive for the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to you. Whether that's putting your hands out or just getting comfortable, putting your hands on your knees or whatever. But just sit comfortably in your chair to be able to receive. This first reading is just to prepare our heart. Standing in the pause between the old and the new, between darkness and light, between hurried stress and the peace of deep rest, take a moment to pause and take a deep breath. Breathe, you can breathe now. Standing at the gate of Sabbath, let all the tension and concerns of this past week flow out with your breath. Breathe in again deeply. Exhale tightness, worry, and stress. You are about to enter a new moment in time, a sacred dimension where you can taste the wholeness within you and the cosmos and the taste of God. And when you are ready, open the door into this time of peace, of an expanded consciousness, of the restful joy that is Sabbath. Welcome its warmth and light and allow it to embrace your mind, body, heart, and soul. In the 16th century, a Jewish poet wrote this, what's become known now amongst the Jewish people as the Yedid Nefesh, which is, means heart's delight. And this is what he wrote. Just soak this in. It's beautiful words. O God, delight of my heart, source of compassion for all, take me into your arms and shape me to your will. Like a leaping deer, toward you I draw near. In your radiant presence I stand in awe as I am. The sweetness of your love enthralls my hungry heart. You alone, O God, can fill my yearning soul. O wondrous light of the world, shining on one and all, my heart is faint with love, desiring only you. Help my soul, God. Heal her by your love. Show your shining splendor. Bathe her in your light. May she return to peace and harmony. Forever shall I praise you, God, the Eternal One. God of enduring love, show your mercy to me, for I am your own child. Embrace me once again. Long have I hoped to see your beauty, to stand as your great light shines its splendor on me. God, don't delay. Hold back from me no more. Pour out your love. Embrace me with your light. Show yourself beloved from me. Do not hide. Spread your tent of peace over this waiting world. Light up all creation with your presence, Lord. Fill me with your joy. My lips will praise your name. Hurry to me. The holy time has come. Show to me your presence as in days of old. O God, delight of my heart, source of compassion for all, take me into your arms and shape me to your will. Like a leaping deer, toward you I draw near. In your radiant presence I stand in awe as I am. The sweetness of your love enthralls my hungry heart. You alone, O God, can fill my yearning soul. So, Father, Lord, we just welcome your Sabbath. We welcome, Lord, the fact that you love us so much, that you have said to us, you take a day off and I will provide for you. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your compassion. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. And now, Lord, as we go into the rest of this day, let us go, Lord, with the fragrance of your eternity, the fragrance of who you have created us to be. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who demonstrated what it means to walk eternally with the posture of Sabbath, with the posture of eternal rest. Thank you, Father. And Lord, as we go about our day, greeting one another, meeting people, being alone, walking in nature or not, as whatever we do, Lord, let us do it with joyful hearts, forever thankful for who you are. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful gift. We bless you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go and have fun today. Go and relax. Go in the name of the Father. Okay? Eat well. Enjoy Jesus forever. Okay? Bless you guys. Bless you.